Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to the March minisode of Banging Book Club. This is the fortnightly podcast where we discuss books about sex and or gender and just have a generally good time.
I would agree with that.
Good times are rolling.
Yep.
This is a great good time minisode. Today we're going to answer some advice questions.
We are, and we've never done this before, but the last episode where we discussed She of the Mountains, which was heavy about relationships, we ended up talking about relationships an awful lot, and also the three of us are insanely smug because we're both in... We're both? All three of us? What's the word for both for three?
Is there one?
We're all in relationships and happily in love.
But we haven't always been. We've dated. We've been engaged. We've not been engaged.
With much tragedy and mess. Yes, we might all be sober, but still don't take
our
advice.
There is chicken stew on the hob.
I wonder if that picks up, just the slow
bubbling. There is the bubbling of it. We turned the fan off.
Warm, homely stew.
Wait, everyone be quiet, see if we can hear the stew. That's Lena.
Oh, amazing.
The mic is picking it up.
Atmosphere.
We'll see.
Well, think of this as a soothing ASMR.
This mic picked up my stoma, like, making noises.
It's a great microphone.
But that the stoma was, like, right next to it. Remember,
that sounds like a great Amazon review, like the weird ones that people find. It's like, this microphone picked up my stoma. 5 stars.
Amazing. Shall we just get into it? We asked for questions on Twitter. If you're not following us on Twitter, at Banging Book Club, you really should be. Mm-hmm. Again, we are three straight women dating men.
Yeah.
So that's
with
our...
With no clue about the world.
That's our limited experience.
Yeah. Not a brain cell between us.
There you go.
So good luck to you.
So just take everything we say with a massive jug of salt. Salt doesn't come in jugs.
It's good enough for us.
Should we do this one first, or do you want to do this one later?
We could just... I think let's scroll...
Yeah, let's have a look.
This is the first... Okay. No, as in, this is the first one. I think we should just, like, dive right in.
Okay.
So, Tim has said, how do you date while being asexual or demisexual and not go crazy by the constant pressure to have sex? This seems especially true when I date guys. So, again, three straight
women...
We
failed at the beginning.
We would be what is called... is it like Z-sexual or something, which is like the other side of the scale to asexual?
Call me a nymphomaniac.
And then, yes. Yes.
Accurate.
I don't think I even have an answer to this, unfortunately.
Tim.
I think you just have to,
come to the
work
wrong
out when, because in general, when your standards don't match up for something as basic as sex, and if you feel like you are being pressured to have sex, even if you have established that you're ace or demi or whatever you identify as, then if there's still that pressure, it's probably coming from them.
Well, yeah. That's the thing. I was going to ask where the pressure is coming from. Like, is it coming from people that you're dating and who want to have sex with you? Mm. Or does it come from society and the general, like, norms of, like, first date, hookup, like, that whole culture?
Yeah.
Or is it coming from yourself of being like, why don't I want to have sex? Like, should I have sex in this situation? Mm. Like,
I mean, I don't know if this is appropriate in your situation, Tim, and forgive me if it is, but the only comparable situation I've been in is that I used to think I was going to save myself for marriage, and lots of my friends were all having sex, and I decided that I didn't want to. And also, I don't think I felt ready either. I was really like, which is not the same situation, obviously, but it's similar. And I think that a lot of the time during sixth form, when I was like at university and had sex at university, I made it always about the other person, because I found that the people that really wanted to talk about sex when they were trying to get information out of me or make me talk about sex or ask me what I'd done was really that they just wanted to talk about themselves. So I'd just be like, no, you tell me how it is, you know. I don't know, I found that reflecting stuff rather than explaining to them why I didn't want to talk about it or like try and defend my own position on it, I just, like, most people are inherently selfish and they just want a monologue. So I just let them do that for a bit.
But then you didn't end up dating any of those people.
I didn't end up dating any of those people, so that's not very helpful.
Well, it is kind of, because it's weeding out the bad ones, bad eggs.
Yeah, people who, yeah, if you encourage people to talk about themselves and they take the bait.
Yeah.
They're probably not great, but I think that people should let us know if they have any advice for Tim, because I bet there's listeners out there who are much better with that question than we are.
True.
So tweet us and we will retweet it and send it to Tim.
Listen says, how do you date when you dislike bars and internet dating? Also, is it weird that I'm close to 30 and I've never been in a relationship? I mean, second question, no.
Yeah, and everyone runs at different paces. I used to think it was really weird. I hadn't been in a relationship, like a proper relationship, until I was 20. But that's normal. That's fine.
Yeah.
As soon as I was in one, I was like, oh, this is the fuss. What?
Yeah, not weird at all. Blah, 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 blah. How? Disliking bars and internet dating. I mean, the...
Nobody likes internet dating.
I enjoyed it quite a lot.
Some
when
people
I did
enjoy
it
as a game, but
like,
yeah,
people have sorting fetishes and like to move things around.
That's me.
Yeah. But, I was like, boys aren't card games, Hannah, and you were like, but I'm winning at it.
I just liked filling out my profile. I never really did much of the like actually going on dates with people.
I really enjoyed the dating side. Maybe we're not right.
I enjoyed like the answering the questions on OkCupid, and just it was like a massive personality test.
Yeah.
But I think one of the best ways is like through mutual friends. Maybe if you're not going to go out to bars and meet people, it would be at friends gatherings and events and
Your friends got that book launch that they're organizing coming up. I feel like not many people have relatable book launches are happening later. Your friend organising that gallery event that you've been considering not going to?
You could totally meet someone in a bookshop.
There's so many things like that. And I think also, like, for me, the best way I met... The best people that I met were from situations that I got myself in, where I was just like, I'm not going to think about dating. I'm just going to pursue some things that I really like. And then you meet people on the way who are also trying to achieve
this
those things.
This is the Mike Falzone thing.
And get those things. And did I get this all from Mike Falzone?
I got it from Mike Falzone too.
I'm just a conglomerate of other people's opinions. But,
but yeah, it's just you go about your life doing the things that you love, and you'll meet people who are doing the same thing along
the
way.
Yeah.
And then you're like, so hey, funny. You're cool. I have a family friend, and the way that she met her husband is like one of my favourite stories. What are they called in films? Cute meets.
Meet cutes.
Meet cutes.
What?
Was cute pajamas. I've got the tops, you've got the bottoms.
I have no idea.
I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, God, yeah.
They know what I'm talking about.
But yeah, so basically, she was, she went to an art gallery by herself on a Sunday. And was just like enjoying herself, looking at the art, and spotted a very attractive man also by himself looking at all the art. And I don't know if they like clocked eyes at any point or ever, but she kept on saying to herself, oh, I want to build up the courage to talk to him, da 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 da. And then they were like, sorry, the gallery is closing. And then she left without speaking to him, even though she was like, damn it, damn it. Next day, she's cycling to work. And she just sees that guy on the street, like, walking. And she's like, right, got to do this now. Pulls over on her bike. And she's, like, full, like, helmet gear and everything. And it's just like, hey, this might sound weird, but were you in, like, Manchester Art Gallery yesterday? I saw you there, da-da-da-da. I don't know if she said, like, she thought he was attractive or whatever. But she, like, was like, was that you? And he was like... yes, and now they're married and have two kids. Yeah.
Aww.
I know.
What a great life.
But I remember, like, being there like just a few days after, like, her, and she was like telling us the story of this guy that she'd met, and we were like, oh my god, that's the best story ever.
And now they're married. Yeah,
I know. That's so cool. Just go about your life doing the things that you love and take risks and
get a bike.
See more people on a bike.
Yeah. Unless you don't find people who hang around in art galleries interesting, in which don't go to
go
an art
hang
gallery.
Out in the places that you find interesting.
Because I think I hang out in places to meet people that I didn't inherently find interesting, and I only found boring people in those places. Surprise, surprise.
There you
maths.
Go. Yeah. That's how it works.
That's maths.
Does anyone want to read another question?
Yeah. Gemini Peach says, hey babes, my question is, how do you know when it's really time to be single / not even think about relationships, etc.?
When you read the Slumflowers tweets and you relate to more of them than you don't relate to.
What tweets?
Oh my gosh. There's this woman. She's called Shadira. She's amazing. I swear I sing her praises at everything now. But her username on Twitter is the Slumflower. Mm-hmm. And she talks all about problematic relationships with men and how women everywhere are like having this whole expectation thing where like they're expected to meet men's expectations but men never meet theirs, and she talks all about it. It's amazing. And everyone that I know that goes through a breakup or is having a tough time with guys, I'm like, read the Slumflower, learn your value as a person.
So if you just go on her Twitter, you can just read some of her tweets and
you'll just know. You'll be like, if you really are just like, fuck this.
I kind of also feel like you know when it's time to be single and not think about relationships if you just find yourself not thinking about them.
Oh, yeah. I think about them constantly. Like when I was single.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, but that didn't mean
I was having a crush on somebody, even if I wasn't interested in it. I was just like, just had to fill that part of my brain. I'd expanded when I was 13.
Yes. I was very much like that as well. Like when I was single for 6 years, but there was never a time where there wasn't a man
there wasn't somebody
I was interested in.
Even arbitrarily, even in the fact that you wouldn't actually
I would like
them.
Jump from lily pad to lily pad. Just
but yeah. I think like when I realised that I really needed to be single when I felt like everybody I met I was trying to explain myself to, and even my partner like didn't really get me, so I had to like spend a lot of emotional time explaining it. And that
was
really exhausting.
That's really
I think part of the reason that I needed to be single was because I was like, I need to work out who I am without having to explain it to somebody really slowly.
That's great.
So I think that's what I did, and I just like worked out who I was without talking to anybody about it. And I just felt like I needed like some like emotional privacy. I was like going out and being social, but I just felt like I needed to recede a bit. Does that make any sense?
And not justify yourself, I guess.
Yeah, not justify myself.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like I did that all of last year, actually. Now you talk about it. Like, I was going on these dates with people and I was like, no. Like, I was open, but I was also like, it was for fun. Because I just knew, like, I wasn't in a place yet.
But is this question from Gemini Peach being like, how do you know when it's really time in terms of like making a decision to leave a relationship
or even think about relationships?
Yeah, but if you're making a decision about it being time to be single, that means being not like leaving a relationship. I don't know.
Or not like go out and look for relationships.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it could be that as well.
I mean, is it really cliche to say, like, you have to learn to love yourself first, and if you don't love yourself?
So true.
But then I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, because I used to, like, preach that all the time, being like, you have to, like, love yourself before anyone else can love you. And then I'm like, yeah, but that means that by saying that, I'm saying that, like, people
it's
with depression and who hate themselves aren't worthy of love. And I'm like, no, but they obviously
but not true.
Are. Yeah, exactly. So it's a really weird mentality, which is a good thing to love yourself, obviously.
I think you should be with somebody when you could handle, it would be devastating, but you know that you would be able to stay together with yourself, if you lost them.
Completely
so
agree.
I think that, like, if
we
I lost my current partner.
We had a conversation about this the other day.
It would be the worst thing, but it's also not a thing that, it sends me into a deep sense of sadness, but it doesn't send me into a deep sense of despair and, like, my life would go off the tracks and I'd probably become a drug addict.
We genuinely were talking about this on Saturday.
Yeah.
I was like, obviously it would be the worst thing in the world if we broke up. But I know that, like, the person who I am and the support network in terms of my friends and family, like, I know that if that ever happened, like, I would get through it.
Yeah.
And I, like, can function as a human being.
Yeah. I feel like I can depend on Craig, but I'm not dependent on Craig.
Completely.
Yeah. Just
completely.
You know, you should always be able to depend on your, like, I don't want to say other half, because I'm a whole. I'm a whole.
I'm a whole lot of header.
Totally agree with all of this.
Yeah.
Partner.
I hope that helps.
I always think I'm over this. Oh, sorry. This is from Griffin Claw Puff. Wow, my brain.
You need to decide who you are,
that.
Mate. Nuance.
I always think I'm over this crush, and then I see him do something cute or be really funny or nice to me. Will I ever get over him? I'm honestly tired at this point.
First of all, why do you need to get over him? Have you already, like, put it out there and he's rejected you? Or does he already have a partner? Or is he not interested in your gender? Full stop.
Yeah,
otherwise,
why
do you need to get over him? We're not given enough information here.
But also, I've totally been on the, like, I had a crush when I was a teenager for 2 years that I held on to and held on to. I played him a song I wrote about him. Like, I was upset. Honestly, I was weird.
These are the moments where I think that me and Lucy actually have quite a lot in common.
Oh, yeah. No,
I think you're not the same.
I'm 100% as creepy as Lucy, if not more.
No, I was weird. I still am. But, yeah, the way that I got over that eventually was, one, approaching him and telling him about it and him finally giving me a solid no.
It's cathartic as well.
Definitely. I had a good cry and then I was fine. And then I muted him on everything on social media, unfollowed him, unfriended him on MSN Messenger, which at the time was a great talking platform.
That's a big step.
Yeah. And then just got and, like, deleted all the conversations so I couldn't read them back because when I was a teenager, I had really bad hormones. Like, I was very like,
very normal,
I feel so
though.
so much everything. I'm going to read these texts back that I wrote a year and a half ago.
I used to copy texts into my diary.
I've done that too.
With the time and date.
Yeah.
In case my phone ever died, which it did. So,
yeah. Got some of those too from the boy. Yeah, and people still take the piss out of me about it to this day. So it will never really go away in your friends' hearts. But in mine, it did leave in about 4 months.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at UH1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Yeah.
I've had crushes on people for years and, like, they just haven't gone away. But I think what has made them stay is that I'm like, I should get over this person because blah, 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 blah. And actually, I just let it play out.
Yeah.
Like, your brain will get bored of thinking about it so at one point if you don't pressure it and you don't make it into this big spiral of fixing yourself and behaviour kind of policing. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm just like, it's hilarious that I fancy somebody that will never love me. Isn't that funny? Do you know what I mean?
Like, as soon as the veil is... whatever, like, removed, you can instantly see it without the rose-tinted spectacles, and you go, oh my god. I often feel a bit repulsed by a lot of the people I fancied. Is that
oh
bad?
Yeah, oh yeah, all of the time.
I'm just like,
also stay away from narratives that are like, they didn't know they liked each other and then they did. So when Harry met Sally, Friends with Benefits, Bridget Jones, there's a whole, the more you look at them, the more you realise that a lot of narratives are around one person not realising they like somebody and then they did realise. And that has very rarely been the case for
humans.
I've had it once. Yeah. I've had it once. It ended terribly. Don't do it.
Yeah. So I just think that,
Yeah. But also, like, on your point of letting things play out and not struggling with the, like, I have this crush, I need to go over them. I genuinely give this advice to so many situations, but most of the struggle that you feel is in the resistance to it. So being like, I have this crush, I don't want to have this crush. Like, it's not the having the crush that is the thing that's causing you pain. Yeah, it's the resisting it. And so actually, if you, like, stop the resistance, which is part, like, easier said than done, then, like you said, it will just play out. Yeah. And you're like, you'll be like, I have this crush, whatever, it's fine.
Your feelings of crushness are valid. You're allowed to have crushes on people. That's okay.
I think we have this, like, again, it's like one of those narratives that we tell ourselves that all crushes are, like, super painful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they are when we're teenagers, but even then, it doesn't have to be.
Mm.
Like, a crush doesn't have to be this thing that, like, weighs on your heart all the time. You can't stop thinking about them. And, like, every time they text you, your heart flutters. And then anytime they don't text you, it's, like, heavy, heavy, sad, sad. Like, crushes can just be fun. I don't know.
I agree.
Grace asks, where are all the nice single guys? Well, Grace, if we knew that, we'd be very rich women.
Linda from Finance.
Yeah. I'm ready for Linda from Finance.
Linda from Finance. Also, okay, so Linda from Finance, but it's at James Risk. So I don't know if you're James or you're Linda.
Well, I think there's Linda from Finance, and I'm not gonna.
Let's just pretend this is Linda. How to convince a date that you don't need to get that drunk without seeming like you aren't cool.
Is this
like a drinking date?
Yeah, it must be. Go for coffee was my all of my solutions for when I didn't want to drink and went on dates. But obviously, evening dates are better because you're probably not in uni and you probably don't have an indispensable amount of time.
And you don't want to give your weekends away to just random first dates.
Are we 30?
Yeah.
Just a question, are we?
I've got more important things to do on the weekend.
All the people that I am romantically interested in, that I've had to get really drunk with, have either been really unemotionally available until the point where they're, like, literally paralytic then open up, which is not really healthy. And I don't think you should be going on dates with them.
I've now got a person in my head that I relate.
Everyone's got that person. Or they're super pressury and they see them getting drunk as a way of, like, coercing you into... Don't know.
Also, you set the pace. Yeah. You do set the pace for the drinking. And you may not realise it, but when there's two people there, and I've noticed this so much through sobriety, but also now, if I'm taking my time, they automatically have to take their time as well.
Yeah.
So if I'm taking an hour for a drink, or like 3/4 of an hour for a drink, they have to be on that wavelength. Yeah. I mean, they can go up to the bar, but social pressure usually dictates that they don't. And when I wasn't drinking, I did a lot of dating. And every time I said, oh, I'm not drinking, they would only have, like, one pint. And then they would just stay sober. Or they stay sober the entire time.
Mm.
Wow. People feel a lot of social pressure with alcohol. So in the same way you're feeling a lot from them, you can also pull that power back.
Yeah. That's funny because I'm not drinking at all now and Dan's still drinking a lot.
But you two are so close.
I mean, we can unpack that off the podcast if you'd like.
But you're like, really close and, like, there's an... no judgment thing.
I did say to him one day, I was just like, do you not feel weird about it? And he was like, I'm not going to change my drinking habits because of you. And I was like, fair enough.
Compromise for Hannah.
Well, I didn't want him to. That's the thing.
There's a meme that's like, compromise for men. Anyway.
I want to ask you about whether you've started drinking or have you tried it or anything?
No, I've just not felt like it.
Fair.
We'll see.
That's fair. I had one more thing to say on the drinking thing.
Go for it.
Oh, I know. Take them somewhere really expensive and then you can't afford to get drunk.
Oh my God, I love it.
There are some really great cocktail bars where it was £14 a cocktail that I've accidentally found myself in. You could find yourself in there on purpose.
Yeah.
And you have one drink.
Yeah. It works.
You could have got dinner for
somewhere
that.
Somewhere with a Birkin next door. Good.
Yeah.
Sky asks, how do you tell someone you like them without being awkward?
They said being awkward. They said without it being awkward. And I have a theory that, like, awkward situations don't exist. You thinking that they're awkward makes it awkward.
I don't know about that. I definitely think that I've had, like, very awkward interactions that were mutually incredibly uncomfortable that but I hadn't really realised. And then as I left, I was like, that was 10 times worse than it was in the moment. Like, just the aftermath of thinking
But also, like, if you were in an awkward situation... if you like react to it differently or think about it as not being awkward and they do the same as well, then suddenly it
sometimes you don't have that much.
Suddenly it becomes non-awkward.
It's fictional.
I don't know. I'm a really awkward person.
I feel like you have more control over that than you think you do.
I go really red. That's the problem.
Don't care.
I just blush on not even because I feel embarrassed. Like, if I feel even slightly, I'll go bright red. So, like, it makes the other person uncomfortable. Mm. It's my natural guttural response.
I don't know. If someone goes bright red around me, it doesn't make me feel uncomfortable.
Really?
So I think that's in your head as well.
Oh.
Like, they're not... That person isn't necessarily uncomfortable just because you've gone red. I don't know.
I mean, the other day someone went... Are you okay? Me? And I was like, fine. And then I went more red and I was like, I'm fine.
You're going red just thinking about it.
I go red so easily. It's fine though, because I don't know. Awkwardness isn't the worst thing in the world.
Anyway, how do you tell someone that you
guilt
like them?
Guilt is the worst feeling. How do you tell someone you like them without it being awkward? I don't know, really.
I don't know. I think that's like, how do you go kayaking without any water? Like, you're going to have to.
It's going to be weird. Sorry. I always find the lead up is worse.
Definitely.
Like, it's the building it up and then like...
And then you send the message and you feel dread but also relief.
Mm. I'm about to sneeze.
Have you ever told somebody you like them in person?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. I've definitely told someone I like them in
too.
Person.
Me too.
Like, on dates and stuff. Like second date. Oh, maybe not that level of input.
Mm. I don't know, because I feel like I've been in situations, definitely as an adult, where I've probably already made out with them.
Yeah.
Before I have to do the whole like, I like you. So it's already like clear that I like them without having to say the words.
But you can kiss someone and it not be clear.
Yeah. True.
So I think I don't really feel that uncomfortable telling someone I like them, but more so, as we said, the build-up. Yeah. There's nothing to fear. What's the worst that can happen?
They don't like you back.
You talk yourself like down.
Yeah. And you spiral into a state of existential dread.
You just
move on. Question everything about your life.
There are so many fish. There's like a gazillion fish.
Well, actually... So I went to Greece in the summer.
And the population of fish is severely decreasing in Greece.
I'm not going to lie. We went to Paros, which is one of the islands, and we asked our Airbnb hosts. We were like, so what's like the best like fresh local fish to have around here? And they were like, nothing. The sea's dried up. It's been overfished.
Oh my God.
So literally you just have octopus and like prawns and like seafood, but no actual fish.
So the takeaway is there's barely any fish. No. Quick, settle for the nearest fish.
Guys.
Take an octopus if you have to.
Yeah, see, there may be no more fish, but then maybe fish weren't for you. Maybe
you're more of a mammal
squid.
Person.
Yeah. Hold out for the squid.
I like this and I'm nervous laughing because I really need a wee.
Oh, okay, this one's a good one that I think we could actually answer.
Nail monks.
Yeah, we all did
the same.
Nail monks, how do you keep any commitments, such as work, from interfering with your relationships and vice versa?
I feel like having designated time works for me, but like I'm very lucky in that Dan has an office job and so he's out of the house in the day. And I'm here working from home most of the time. So I don't see how that would get in the way.
I've had a lot of trouble with this recently in my new relationship because we live like an hour and 20 minutes away from each other. So, and actually, Lena, you've totally had this as well.
Yeah.
Because your boyfriend lives so far away from you for like 8 months.
Yeah.
And that commute ate up my life and eats up my life because I end up commuting for work stuff all the time into East London because he lives in East London, and then like kind of staying at his 2 nights, 3 nights, back again, like this ridiculous cycle. Mm. And it does mean my relationship does completely eat into my work life.
Mm.
And I'm having to problem solve that at the moment by moving house, which actually I wanted to do anyway, so it is fine. But I think you have to find a solution as soon as possible. Or find ways to utilize.
Especially if you recognize that there is a problem.
Definitely. So, like, I start reading the Banging Book Club books on the train because I have such a long journey that it means I have designated reading time. And that's been so useful for me. And also making sure that I can do my emails on the train and do all these things. So, I've always been trying to problem solve this issue of being kind of between two places.
Yeah. Because I think, like, I probably spend like 2 hours a day commuting. Anyway, every day, which is like, why?
Yeah.
Why? No, when we have the internet. But I think it's also just like,
I don't know. I feel like with me and my partner, it's like our work outside of work is quite similar. So he'll be working on his like artistic photography stuff and I'll be working on my YouTube stuff. Mm. I'll be writing my book and he'll be writing his poetry. And like we're quite similar and we have mm-hmm. like quite similar work ethics. So if one of us needs to work, then the other person like makes tea and understands. Oh, so I think good. It's like having the same pace of life.
Yeah.
And because
yeah.
we both work in the day, that's not a problem.
Yeah. So, me and Dan, it's very different because like we're very much home in the evenings and then weekends just switch off from work. So mm. it's like, but we're very privileged that we can both do that.
Yeah, totally.
So we just have the evenings for like eating and playing video games.
Yeah. I think also I don't know, do you guys do date nights?
Yeah.
We do proper date nights and I've done that in all of my relationships and they're phone off date nights. Mm. Well, phone silent.
Oh, that would only be like shit for me.
Yeah, but this is the thing though, because I used to benefit from it so much in my last one because we were both do jobs in social media and Jack has just a compulsion. As soon as his phone goes, he has to check it, whereas my phone buzzes so much, I just don't give a fuck anymore. But like, I actually don't check my phone.
Can you put that on a t-shirt?
I'm more afraid of my phone when it vibrates.
Yeah.
I haven't checked my email since 5 p.m. today and I'm already scared to check my emails again. So like, I don't know.
No one should be emailing you after 5 p.m. Tell them to fuck off.
Because someone please tell the world to not email on weekends, because I would be so happy if I could actually have at least one day a week off.
I used to...
You don't have to reply to those emails that people send on the weekends though.
No, but often they're like important shit I need to read or like stuff don't. I need to know. I'm like,
no, you don't. Oh. It's fine. Do it. Deal with it Monday morning.
I always put like a rude out of office on with a GIF.
Because also like... Now
usually it's Bridget Jones going down the hill with the skis. And I was like, sorry, I'm away right now. When really, it's just the weekend.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, I might do that then.
This has now turned into work advice. But, yeah, but genuinely, like, you don't have to reply to emails on the weekend.
That's good.
Because like, also, the thing is that as soon as you start replying to emails on the weekend and replying to emails in the evening, people then start to expect that from you. Whereas if you don't do it, people won't expect it from you.
Totally. Mm. Yeah. And like, yeah, sorry, back to the question.
Relationships and other commitments.
But I also think that it's important that your relationship doesn't eat into your work time.
Yeah,
I think that's like a weird... Like, there's two ways to answer that question because I think there's a danger either way. And, like, people... Because I've always worked, like, hour time. When people are like, sorry, I was late, I was seeing my boyfriend. I'm like, what the fuck are you? And I'm literally like... people I've managed have done that and I'm like, I'm just going to fire... Like, I just want to fire them instantly. Like, it's not professional.
Wait, what do they do? They turn up and they're like...
Sorry, I was staying at my boyfriend's house. And I'm like, you're an hour late. You know, that used to happen all the time when I worked like shops or like even in office jobs. And it's like not... You can't do it.
Yeah.
So I think if you have a partner that's not supportive of the boundaries that you have to set for your job... Yeah. Then, like, fuck them off. Definitely. That's my attitude. I'm like,
nice.
Taking space as well. Like I spend a lot of time with my boyfriend, but mainly out of convenience now for the work stuff.
Yeah.
But knowing when I should go home and stay home for, like, 4 days is really important.
Yeah.
As a part of the dynamic.
That.
Yeah.
And, like, for instance, we kicked Dan out and he's upstairs whilst we record this podcast.
Dan, just sit in and listen.
This came to light recently when a few people were talking to me about the fact that they rewatched Devil Wears Prada and realised that her boyfriend was super unsupportive horrible. When the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, her boyfriend, she's leaving him alone. And I'm like, no, this is the most important night of her
career. I still think her boy is really, like, supportive. Wait, am I missing something?
I did. It was at the beginning.
You have to make time for your partner.
It was but a one-year internship. This is a one break into the job that she really wanted. Maybe this is my...
Maybe
like,
I have no patience.
...tiger career thing coming out where I'm like, no.
I don't know. She was working a lot of hours. It's fine to do evening things, but she was working a lot of hours.
Okay, maybe that's a
And she
a
forgot about
situation.
Stuff
for him.
She
maybe
forgot
that's
about his
a happy
birthday,
middle ground.
She? Did she forget about his birthday? Did I make that up?
Yeah,
she
but if I think that I wouldn't mind if somebody missed... They shouldn't forget she had to miss it.
So,
I wouldn't mind if it was somebody's most important dream in their life because her birthdays happen every year. That's... Anyway, you need to find a partner who has the same attitudes to
make
you.
Make sure you talk about your work life and how your expectations are their expectations.
Yeah.
And then you can avoid a Devil Wears Prada situation.
Yeah, preempting.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to sit down and watch Devil Wears Prada with your potential new partner and see what you both think of it.
Yeah.
It's
like
and
a litmus test.
Figure out, out if you're on the same page.
A litmus test.
Or like, does your partner think that Rachel should have got off the plane?
Because I think she should have stayed on
Of course she should have stayed
plane.
On the fucking plane.
Is this the Phalange episode?
Yeah, when she's like gonna go to Paris and have her dream job, and then Ross is like, I can't possibly leave the United States.
I've just realised that I love you.
Nobody cares, Ross.
Oh. I would have probably got off the plane.
See, I'm romantic. No, but that's just like, that's just, and you just got your life accordingly. You know?
I think it's because I live on the idea that, like,
also, where was their kid throughout all of this?
Other opportunities will come up.
Where was Emma? Yeah. Was Emma going to live in Paris too? Like, where was their baby? She wasn't a baby at that point, but anyway.
Emma does not get a say in this.
Yeah, you're right. Where was Emma?
Exactly. Who had Emma? Did Rachel just go, I'm going to go and have my dream job in Paris. Mum, Dad, will you look after your grandchild? I don't know.
I thought she was going to take Emma with her.
Didn't see her on the plane.
Weird.
She just put her in the hold.
Oh my God.
With the phalange.
Oh God. Anyway, thanks for listening.
I don't know if this has been any way helpful.
Oh, I don't know.
It's going to be a real fun edit. But thank you so much for listening. If you would like to, please follow us on Twitter at Banging Book Club, on Instagram at Banging Book Club. I promise the Instagram has got some stuff coming.
Also, let us know if you enjoyed this very special advice episode, and if you did, maybe we'll do more of them in the future.
Yeah, and leave us a review if you really like us on iTunes.
The stakes just got higher.
Not
just
validation. Really like our boyfriends aren't enough.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening. What are we reading next month?
This month, we are reading Testosterone Rex by Cordelia Fine.
Mm. Yes, so if you're going to get it, and do it, read it, good words, get your skates on, because that's in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
All right.
Now we're going to have some chicken stew. Oh, and again, how many episodes has it been that you've made that sound?
I love that sound, the clunge sound.
Oh, God, I hate you all. I'm stopping this.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com. Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.